Welcome back to another episode of Student Spotlight on the Lawn and Landscape Podcast Network. I'm Jimmy Miller, here to bring you another episode where we talk with some of the top horticulture students in the country about what they're up to. Today, we've got Sam Resnick, who balanced his student experience with running a company that he later sold. I can't speak enough about how excited I am to bring you this podcast. Let's hear Sam's story directly from the source himself.
Like you said, my name is Sam. I started my business when COVID happened, which is when I was 17. I was just graduating high school. And, you know, I ran it for that summer during COVID. And, you know, I ran it then, and then I ran it throughout the next two consecutive summers. And in between that time, I was at school. So the biggest thing with this is that this was a business that was only run two, three months out of the year, with jobs throughout the year. But in terms of things that are specific to my landscaping, the story here is really about how throughout each decision and strategy, there was always kind of, that was always kind of done with the thought that I could only run it for a certain amount of time. And, you know, throughout the, I guess in total, 8 months of operation, we ended up leaving with about 150 clients, and we would do a whole range of services. I know it's better to specialize sometimes, but, you know, with our strategy, like I said, we do a whole range of services. We did power washing also, and, you know, hired a bunch of people, a bunch of part-time, a bunch of full-time, which I can talk about. But, you know, it was really successful in total. And then after I ran it for, you know, three summers, I sold it. The contract closed this past January, and, you know, and with that, you know, kind of came like the asset sale, and, you know, it's really just been a great journey all the way. I've learned a ton, and, it's really transformed my career. So it's really been a great journey.
No, it sounds like it. And we'll certainly touch on, all things your business and the selling process. But it is Student Spotlight, so I figure we'll start with a little bit of the student angle. Sam, where'd you go to school and how did you pick that school?
Yeah, so I went to school at Binghamton University, where I got my undergraduate degree in management information systems and entrepreneurship. You know, I picked it because they had a great school of management program. It was in New York, so it was a little far away from me. And, you know, it was really a great you know, a great experience all around. They had a great program. They had a lot of great clubs, beautiful campus. And, you know, and even with saying that, you know, the decision was really made during COVID. So it was even on that during a whim, but, you know, it worked out for the best. I met amazing people. I just graduated this past May, and, you know, definitely a great place. Would recommend for sure.
Sam, most people, when we have them on the podcast, you know, they have picked a school with the intention of getting into the green industry. Was that your intention when you went to school, or was it a matter? Cause I noticed like, it's not like a landscaping degree.
Yeah.
It's, you know, managed in, would you say it was information management?
It was management information systems. So that's really tech systems integrations into management structures. I actually chose to go to Binghamton before I even had the idea to start the landscaping business. You know, I knew I wanted to do something in business, but I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. And so I didn't even really major in anything relating to landscaping. However, what I will say is after that first summer, after my senior year, where I ran the business and I learned about all this different stuff, I would find that when I took my business classes, whether it was in finance or supply chain or marketing, I could very quickly draw on examples from me running my own business, and it helped me understand complex topics like really faster, like much, much, much faster. So, you know, even though I didn't pick it with the intent of, you know, running a landscaping business throughout my career, it was definitely very present in my head throughout all of my teachings.
Absolutely. So at what point were you like, okay, landscaping is going to be my career, or landscaping is going to be the field that I'm entering? Like, at what point did it kind of dawn on you?
Right. So, I didn't see it as a career, but I definitely, the question is not really so much as a career, more of when did I decide to do it, overtaking a banking internship or like going to work at another startup, or, you know, which I ended up doing last summer where I ran the business abroad. But, you know, when I realized I chose to do this over another internship was really the skills that you gain from running a business is just so diverse. And, you know, a lot of people say that they want you to be specialists in a certain field and you want to learn, even with landscaping, you know, you want to start with mowing and then you want to build out your mowing company. You know, but when you do a experience and you run a small business, you gain so many unique experiences and skills that, you know, translate to everything else. So I would really utilize everything I learned and the experience I learned from running my business within every single interview that I've done or every application that I've made in the past like 3.5 years. And so it was a really big tool for me in that aspect. Like, it was helping my career, my overall career. And then there's also the factors of, you know, I love finding people jobs. I loved, you know, I like the work. I like the competitiveness of it. You know, I liked working hard. Of course, you know, it was profitable, thank God. So, you know, but that was really, those were really like the big things. And that's kind of why I decided to stick with it for the time that I had.
So, you know, Sam, let's talk a little bit about the process of starting that business, because a lot of landscape contractors who listen to this podcast are either just getting started. Maybe they're thinking about starting their own business. So how did you start your business and what kind of speed bumps did you learn along the process of actually like getting that started?
Right. So I started it, like I said, during COVID. And my older brother, a couple years before, had gone around with his friend, and they themselves had like done some lawn work, but I figured I would kind of do something a little more. In my garage, I had a wheelbarrow, I had a 3-year-old power washer, and I think that's it. So I went out, I bought a couple spades, a couple sets of gloves, and, you know, and like disposable bags, like those, like, you know, those 30-gallon bags you'll buy from Home Depot or Lowe's. And, you know, that's really all I needed. I had like this like 20-year-old van that my mom used to drive. It was like a 2001 Honda Odyssey, if anyone knows that car. The next summer my friends used to call it the shitmobile. So that was always a fun knock. But it got us around, it got the equipment around. And, you know, I posted on Facebook groups, which is where I ended up getting 85% of my business for the next 2 summers after that. And, you know, a lot of people reached out, and, you know, I did an estimate, and all of a sudden, within like a couple of days of just like getting all this stuff, posting, having the idea, I was just working a job, just pulling out weeds and like putting down mulch. The biggest thing I bought, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I bought a bush trimmer for $110. So I can kind of add that to my array of services. And, you know, that bush trimmer lasted me all three summers that we did the business, and ended up making us tens of thousands of dollars in revenue just from bush trimming services. You know, it was really minimal. Like, I did not spend more than $200 to start the whole thing. Even when you incorporate like gas from my car. And the great thing with landscaping is it's very profitable, very quick. So pretty quickly after working, I learned I had something, and, you know, I kind of just moved forward from there. That was really the biggest thing.
I want to jump back. You mentioned the Facebook groups thing, and I find that concept really interesting. Was it like local talk of the town pages, or what were the pages that you were posting on that did so much business?
Great. Great point. So Facebook groups, for those who don't know, I would post in neighborhood groups. So if you live in a neighborhood, if your neighborhood is called like Westernly or something like that, you'd find a Westernly neighborhood group, and you would find all the people from your neighborhood in that group. Not all of them, but the people who have Facebook, the people who are connected. So I would go in my neighborhood group, I'd go in all the neighborhood groups in the town. I'd go to the talk of, you know, of the town that I lived in, and I would just find any group that I can with any parents or homeowners, and basically anywhere that people were, and I could post for free. And I would just say, like, hi, I'm Sam. I do landscaping for, you know, cheap money. And I'm very, like, I'll take care of you. I'll do your customer service very well. I didn't have any pictures or anything like that to start from. I was basically just saying, like, I'll hustle for you and I'll give you a good deal. And, you know, people needed work at that time also because it was COVID and a lot of people weren't working. You know, both people my age and adults. And so I ended up just keeping up with Facebook groups throughout the next couple of years. A couple other people ended up following me soon after, but I was lucky enough to get the first in for the Facebook group market in my town.
That's awesome. Okay. So Sam, you know, we talked already about like the process of kind of starting your business, right? You ran it for two more years after
right.
that. So let's talk a little bit about the process of actually growing your business. And, you know, you mentioned the Facebook groups were great for, you know, kind of earning new clients, but what else did you do to kind of expand that business?
Yeah, no. So that first summer, it was me in charge. And then I hired, the way it was structured was I hired a bunch of different part-time employees. So people can come on wherever, when like a bunch of people my age. So people can come on whenever they want. There were some that I was friends with, some that I didn't know. They can come for a day, make $100 and something, and then, you know, not need to work. And that would be their spending money. And then when they need another shift, they can come on. As long as they let me know in advance, I can schedule a bunch of people, get a bunch of people making money. And so a lot of people that worked for me that first summer in part-time jobs, you know, wanted like another part-time gig the next summer. And so employees and having people to support you is the number one tool to grow. One of the people that worked for me part-time the next summer, I decided to bring on his partner. You know, his dad had a truck and his dad ran a, you know, construction business, and we were able to get some more, you know, equipment and, you know, just like resource and contacts. You know, he got in some clients. But I'd say the biggest process of growing was, you know, making sure that I had employees to take my place. Cause if you're doing everything yourself, that's not sustainable. Some things you need to do yourself. So I would do every estimate myself, of course, until, you know, down the line. But, you know, that first summer I was doing everything in terms of social media, client communication. I was, you know, making all the estimates manually through paper. But, you know, as the next summer I brought in a partner, we would do multiple crews at a time at different jobs. You know, the equipment came with the jobs that we needed to do. You know, landscaping equipment is so cheap. So, you know, this stuff would like pay itself in like one job, more or less, one or two jobs, which is really the beautiful thing about landscaping. It's such a low barrier to entry. But, you know, I had that support staff for the next summer and we were able to expand. And then the third summer, again, with employees we got from the second summer, the partner I worked with, he left and I brought in another guy. And he, you know, was really excited about it. He had saw what it could be. You know, again, these are all guys like around my age, you know, a little younger, a little older. But, you know, this guy saw what it could be. I brought in my younger brother to do social media and working the sales funnel. So from marketing to scheduling the estimate. And then I had another guy come on as like a field manager. And so we had our little executive suite of four. And, you know, a lot of it, when you get enough business, you kind of, you know, you want to expand with the amount that business grows. So you don't want to pay for, you know, a whole big website when your Facebook page is doing the same job.
Right.
Until it's time to like pay for a website, until you're confident, so you have a funnel you can lead people to, where like people can know you. And that also goes with equipment. So you kind of grow as you grow. And then when you always kind of consolidate, you want to see what you have, you don't have. But a lot of it was just like kind of growing with what I had. But employees was definitely the number one thing that you need to grow. You need to have employees. And then when you have employees, you need to give them work. Yeah. Like, cause some, like people would come for full-time jobs, of course. And like if those guys, like if we come in and they don't have a job, we don't have a job, they don't get money. Like that's on me.
Right.
And that's unacceptable. Cause yeah. Like, you know, you have like a responsibility to your employees to pay yeah. them and to like make them, you know, make them money.
Yeah. I can imagine that was tough too. Like, you know, so often our interviews with contractors nationwide comes down to tough labor market. And here you are trying to grow your business in the middle of a pandemic, right? Did you ever have like any of the, I mean, obviously it sounds like you knew some of the people you brought on board, but did you have any complications with the hiring or recruitment process?
Yeah, that was always a big thing. You know, if I could find people that were great, that could run the business and like do it to like a degree that was like acceptable, then it would still be running today. And you know, that third summer, I was abroad and I had somebody running it. So I ended up going abroad to like do an internship. And like, you know, when you have employees, it's very, very easy to get things done. Finding employees is very difficult, and keeping them also is very difficult. So we would have like Gatorade in the coolers. I would buy people like ice cream on Fridays. Like there's different things that you have to do to kind of keep morale up, especially when it's younger guys, not so used to physical labor in the hot sun. July is one thing. August is a whole other like different animal.
Yeah.
So, but hiring people and finding people was definitely the biggest complication with starting things.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your study abroad and then ultimately like that last summer, right? So what kind of led to your decision to study abroad, and where'd you go? What was like the major appeal for that?
So I wanted to study abroad because I felt like I was in a position to have the landscaping run without me. To whatever degree it would run, I was in a position where I could make money passively. I didn't really have to be there. Because again, like I hired these excellent people. They stayed with me for a couple of summers, so they knew what they were doing. But I was in a position to step away. And I got an opportunity to be a part of a fellowship in Tel Aviv in Israel, where I don't know if you're familiar, but the startup ecosystem there is, you know, one of the best in the world after Silicon Valley. So I got an opportunity to work in a tech startup where I learned about, you know, things that I would never really have a chance to kind of learn about in landscaping, but also things that I would then send back to my guys to help them with their online strategy. Yeah. So one of those was SEO, which is search engine optimization. I had never really considered that as a direct avenue, but after I kind of found out about that, I started playing with our Google profile. You know, we started getting listings more. Calls would be coming in from, you know, various different places. We would kind of diversify our sales funnel. And, you know, so that was a really good experience to allow me to do that and kind of grow the business while being away from the business. So yeah, that was really the biggest thing. And, you know, being able to step away, especially when it's not my career, ultimately, it was really good. Yeah, the only thing I'll say is when you're away, and the business had only run for, keep in mind, like 7 total months before this,
yeah,
with like a 10-month break. So we had a lot of new employees each summer because, you know, people my age, which is like 18, 19, 20, are going on internships.
Yeah.
So the brand started to kind of suffer a little bit. You know, clients were unhappy and, you know, bad reviews would come in. Yeah. And not having the awareness to deal with unhappy people and the skill of kind of working on it is something that my last partners didn't really have so well. I mean, I always stressed that, but you always have people who are unhappy. Sure. Especially when your kid's doing a work that professionals do for 30 years and your landscaping is not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you'll always have people that aren't happy, but the key is to just keep working and, you know, admit when you're wrong and do right by them. And ultimately, the brand decided to suffer for that. You know, my client base had been different from what it was. You know, it had shrunk. We lost one client who was a large part of our revenue. He gave us several $1,000s in work each summer. And towards the end of the summer, you know, like I said, some reviews came online, and after I was away and I came home, I ultimately decided this had kind of run its course.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk about, you know, the process and the decision to sell in just a sec. I have one more kind of like, I guess, more student related question. We'll definitely dive into that because I think, you know, your decision to sell is certainly a major talking point on this podcast. But while you're running the business and while you're a student, right, this whole idea of work-life balance is really prevalent. And I remember being a student and having like 2-3 jobs while going to school, right? So how did you maintain your student, you know, your student life, student work, work-life balance?
In landscaping, as you know, many of the people who are listening know, you know, there's landscaping in the summer, and then there's, you know, there's fall cleanup in the spring, which are like, you know, bigger jobs. And in the fall, there's leaf collection. So, and in the winter, there's also snow removal, both of those. So, you know, I wouldn't be actively pushing a, you know, leaf collection in the fall because I didn't have the workforce. If I did, I would have. But I would have one or two guys who didn't go to college, who stayed home, who were working that year. They were taking a gap year. Remember, this is during COVID. So this is what people were doing. And, you know, if they wanted to work and they wanted to make money, then again, like, I kind of felt obligated, but also, you know, I wanted to, you know, keep relationships, you know, this and that. So it really wasn't too bad. I would have leaf blowers in my garage. I would have cords when we were electric, eventually be transferred to gas. But, you know, I would have all the materials in my garage. I'd say, come over, pick it up. I'd have one of my younger brothers and my mom unlock the garage, leave it out. You know, they'd go to the client's place, blow off the leaves. Client would pay me on the back end. They drop off the leaf blower. You know, it wasn't really too much. It was just kind of texting people. I'd send out a text to my best clients who had indicated interest to me during the summer that they would want extra help. And that was really the big thing with leaf blowing. It wasn't really too much. It, you know, when you have people to do it that know what they're doing, it's really, you know, not too bad. Really not too bad. Snow blowing was definitely a different issue, because you'd have to make the schedule for like each snow blow. You'd have to like price people based on the amount of snow that fell, and like, you know, it would storm and then it would not storm. And then, you know, there would be no snow. We'd have people booked for later in the afternoon, but then the snow would melt. And so many, you know, snow blowing is a mess. But, you know, with leaf blowing, it was pretty straight up. Yes, there'd be hard jobs, but that's just part of the job. So, you know, if I didn't profit as much, then, you know, it is what it is. I at least got to service my client. I got to service my employee.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a win really either way.
Okay. Well, Sam, let's talk about the decision to sell. You know, you're talking as though you had figured, okay, this thing has run its course. We'll definitely dive into like the little intricacies of selling a business, right? But how did you know for sure? And I know you've kind of already touched on this or implied it, but like, how did you know, okay, this thing is done, you know, or more so like, I am done with this business?
As we were growing and our revenue was growing and our profit was growing, it became clear to me that we needed to spend money on things that we had never spent money on. One of those is insurance for like many different things, just because, you know, you have to cover your losses. It wasn't really such a like a ragtag business anymore. We had a full functioning website. We had a whole trailer that we spent, you know, a bunch of money on, new equipment. So, you know, I need to spend money on a lot of things that I never really expected to spend money on. And some of those purchases were just like dumb purchases, of course, and that'll happen. But you want to limit those as much as possible. However, at the end of the day, the profit margins were significantly decreased from the first summer, where I was operating with like barely any new equipment. I was working, you know, a lot less guys on jobs. The profit margins decreased from the first summer to the third summer by 30%, 35%, which is big. So if it was at, I think it, yeah, I think in the first summer it was at like 55, and then in the third summer it was at like 20.
Okay.
And I was also splitting that with partners. Yeah. So it was unprofitable. Well, it wasn't as profitable, number one, and B, and again, this is a bigger thing, the bad reviews that people had posted about, you know, my business and the name that like I'd spent, you know, a couple of years like, you know, building. I just decided that it was time to hang up. And then on top of all of that, I was graduating college that year. So I figured I'll leave college and I'll start my career somewhere else. And, you know, definitely leave on a good note and, you know, close this chapter of my life.
Take me through that selling process. Like, how long did it take you from start to finish to sell? And what was that process like for you?
It wasn't too bad. I think the hardest part is finding people. But once you find people and you kind of know what you have, you can... I was not like such a hard negotiator. There was a big part of me that wanted to kind of, you know, leave and kind of finish. I wasn't so confident in my client list because I didn't know where people stood with who. I wasn't reaching out to like all 150 something people, although I eventually did for when the contract closed. But, you know, beside the point, I wasn't really sure what I had, so I wanted to kind of get rid of it. I did an asset sale of my trailer, of my equipment to various people on Facebook Marketplace, eBay, other landscapers that were in the area. I'd say, come over to my house, check out some equipment. They buy some stuff every once in a while. And then I did a client list sale. So the asset sale was a little more like focused. I'd sell it for cash, you know, that was done. The client list, I sold it to this nice guy named Burke. And we sold a client list and a consulting contract all into one because he was trying to start his business. And so, you know, it took a couple of weeks of negotiating back and forth. A contract would be made from ChatGPT, and then he would see something that he didn't like, and then I'd have to, you know, edit the contract, and then he'd see something that he didn't like, and then I'd have to edit it, and then I'd see something that I didn't like, and we'd edit it back, and we went back and forth. But I ended up selling the client list, cooked into a consulting deal and a website building deal. So I ended up building his landscaping website for him. Wow. And I like would give him like basically my game plan for every single, you know, thing I would do, from marketing to supply chain to equipment to client acquisition strategies. And he got all of my clients. I reached out to all of them personally and I said, this is the guy. He's good, he's fast, he's tough, he's hardworking. And you know, he onboarded them. And I'm still getting people today who reach out to me. Like just yesterday, somebody reached out to me on Facebook and they were like, "Hi, are you still doing landscaping?" And I was like, "No, but this guy is great." And so yeah, so he bought my clients then until the end of time. So
well, that's cool. And I think that, you know, it's kind of interesting, the asset sale and then, so, but I guess to make sure I understand, like, you didn't necessarily sell your brand, or was the brand included in all that?
It was included. Okay. However, he did not want to continue with the brand, which I don't blame him. Yeah. Like it was 3 years old. It was only around for a couple months out of the year. Like I never really expected him to adopt the brand. But it was included in the contract. It was a contract with him and the name of the company.
That makes sense. Okay, very cool. So yeah. I guess that kind of organically leads me to what's next for you. Is it a matter of, are you finding, you know, opportunities consulting? Is it building websites for clients, maybe in the landscaping field, maybe outside of it? Like, what do you envision as your next step, Sam?
There's so much opportunity in the world right now. So, you know, the next steps are very exciting. I still do consulting deals every once in a while because I'll meet somebody who, you know, is interested in this and that. And, you know, I'll give them my input. I did drop shipping for a little bit. But I have two kind of things going on right now. The first is a online solar marketplace. Okay. And, you know, the idea with that is we're going to be making solar energy simple. I don't know if you're aware, but 70% of people who don't have solar are interested in implementing solar into their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't need to buy a whole solar system to implement solar into like your house or your life. You know, there's a lot of different products that can help you reduce carbon emissions and kind of, you know, help make the earth better while also utilizing the sun and making energy cheaper for you and lowering the cost of your energy overall. So we're going to help, send various solar products from various brands to different people around the world who are interested in solar but don't know a lot about solar.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of going to be closing that gap between people who, like I said, who are interested but don't really know. So yeah, okay. I don't know if that's like the best introduction of it, but it's in the very early stages right now. But the website is www.makeabetterearth.com. I'll just say one last thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
In relation to like the green industry or landscapers, I would say there's many times where I needed to plug in equipment and I would ask clients, because again, like we were kids at this point, but I'd ask people to use their plugs to like charge like a bush trimmer or whatever. Yeah. So having like a little, like a small solar generator on the field with a solar panel definitely could be a good investment if people need energy on the go. Would definitely recommend that.
I certainly see that, you know, as we do an annual report, I'll actually send it your way on battery powered equipment in the industry. And obviously it's on the rise. So, you know, I think being able to charge that equipment on the go would be really important. So,
yeah, definitely. And also, yeah, also I'll say that third summer, like I was saying with the expenses, we transitioned to gas. I never realized how expensive gas would be.
Yeah.
You know, just buying gas for all this equipment over and over again. Like I was shocked. And with my bush trimmer that I bought from the first summer, that was like a charging bush trimmer. So I charged it at the beginning of the day and it would work for, you know, the whole day more or less. And definitely interesting.
Absolutely.
Would love to hear that report.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll send it your way. Sam, you know, we've talked so much about being a student. We've talked about being an entrepreneur, running your own business, selling your own business. You know, we've really covered a lot here. What do you do outside of the green industry or outside of business in general? Do you have any hobbies or do you play any sports or do anything outside of the industry that like, you know, you just like to share about?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of basketball. Love to play basketball. Keeps me in shape. You know, I go to the gym whenever I can. I really like to read. I think there's a lot of really good books out there. You know, I really like to learn. So I'll be reading, I'll be, you know, listening to podcasts. So, you know, all that stuff. And then basketball is really the two big ones. I also am big on Twitter right now. I'm becoming very, I don't want to say obsessed, but you know, I've kind of just been utilizing Twitter as a resource recently, and it's really changed my life in terms of just like reach and knowledge. So
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if Twitter is that really good of a hobby, but that's what I'm in now.
As we look to wrap up here, I wanted to ask you about where people could kind of reach out to you if they had any questions about, you know, managing a business while you're a student or selling a business, or, you know, any questions about, what you're planning to do moving forward. How could they get a hold of you?
Yeah. I mean, well, I'd also just first like to say that I love to meet new people, love to talk to whoever. So definitely reach out to me anytime. Would love to meet, give advice. But you could reach me literally anytime on my Twitter. It's a real Sam Rez. So that's RealSamRes. And you know, definitely check me out and DM me. I'd love to talk to anyone who wants advice or is just curious about anything.
That was Sam Resnick, another young landscaper that we've interviewed for our Student Spotlight series. I'm Jimmy Miller, an associate editor with Lawn & Landscape magazine. Check back with us later for more episodes of the podcast, and we'll catch you next time.